flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, with all the money that I've spent at the Minnesota State Fair, I'm thinking about a second job. I really am. I'm thinking about maybe I'll pick up a little something on the weekends or maybe in the evenings to cover the cost of the cheese curds and the Sweet Martha's cookies and the rides that my kids are getting on because they have broken the bank. I had a budget. I had a budget for the state fair. I said, this is how much I'm going to spend. We're going to spend $700, and that's it. They have blown through that in 3 days. It's over. It's gone. I don't know. They don't get no school supplies. I don't have no school supply money for them. They're going to be writing on their hand, maybe on their arm. I don't know. I don't have anything for them because they blown through the school supplies, school clothes money. They're going to be wearing the same tennis shoes from last year. The toes going to be curled up in the front of the shoe. You know how when your shoes too small, your toes curl up? The toes are going to be curled up in the shoe because I got no shoe money for them. They've eaten the shoe money. Pronto pups and corn dogs and stuff and ices, they've eaten up all of the shoe money. So I'm going to have to pick up a second job. And for some folks, you won't pick up a first job because what you're doing now is not your passion. You want to do something that you're passionate about, something that you care about, something that connects you to the community. You know, the one thing that COVID did is it made us really take a pause and think, is this really something that I want to do for the rest of my life? And that's why we had that great resignation, because people were realizing, I don't want to do this forever. I want to do something I care about because life is too short. And so a lot of people were looking for employees because the ones that they have, they weren't connected to their careers, right? So they were at home thinking. And while you're at home thinking, you know, maybe you want to think about a career in policing. Minneapolis Police Department is looking for more female officers, and nobody has been on the front line of this initiative like Sergeant Kia Boyd, which is why she's joining us right now on the porch at CCO Radio to talk about their efforts to recruit more women officers in the Minneapolis Police Force. Thank you so much for being here. Got Thanks your whole family. Me. Hey, family. Got that baby boy over there, that girl with those cute braids. Y'all look exhausted. How long have y'all been here? Were y'all here since Thursday? Because those kids look like they are on their last. He's like, Mama, take me home. Please, do you have to do this interview? How long have y'all been here today?
Just until 10.
Okay. All right. Oh, that's nothing. Y'all got 10, 12, 15 hours to go. Y'all could spend the night on the big slide and then wake up the next morning, mm-hmm. have a crepe, and we could start this thing all over again. But you really have, Sergeant Boyd, been on the front line of recruiting women to policing. And you have 4 women cadets in the program. That hasn't happened in decades. Talk yes. to me about that.
Yeah, we're having 4 females start coming up in a week. They'll be cadets, so they'll be going to Hennepin Tech, finishing up their school, and then joining our academy.
That has to be so rewarding for you, and with all the things that you have been doing to try to recruit more women to join the force.
Yes, it's like I've told you before, I haven't seen that many females in the academy in decades. So it's refreshing. It means we're heading in the right direction. Just need to keep getting the word out more that ladies can do this job.
Okay, and speaking of getting the word out, you got something special planned right here at the fair at 4 o'clock because the Minneapolis Police Department, they have a booth. So talk to me about that.
Yes, we've been approved to have a booth for recruiting. It'll be alongside over in the horse barn, with our mounted patrol. And our mounted patrol will be all out through the fair, passing out stickers and kind of directing you to the barn, to our table from 4 to 6.
Okay, so what will you be doing at the Mounted Patrol area at the booth from 4 to 6? Are you interviewing people? Can folks get an application? Are they going online? What's going to be happening during that time?
We'll be pretty much tabling, just getting the information out. We do have a QR code that you can scan.
Okay.
We do have two jobs available right now, our community service officer position and our lateral position.
Okay. And so when you say community service officer, what does that person do?
That person, I hold them dear to my heart. They are the front, our frontline entry into the police force. They are our one and only civilian position. So they're the ones that's out there in the gray uniforms, and they're getting their school completely paid for while they're working with us. And when they have their associate's degree and finished skills, they become police officers.
Wow. And you know, I want you to talk to me about why it's so important for women to join the force. You know, when we look around right now at the fair, almost every officer here is a man.
Yes.
I knew you were coming on, and I just kind of did an informal survey as I walked around, and I didn't see one woman on the force, one woman in uniform out here patrolling. Why is it so important for women especially to join?
Well, in my opinion, we're better communicators. We listen more before taking action. We're de-escalators. We're nurturers just by nature. And so our job, in my opinion, is more about communicating, providing resources. The physical part is a minute portion of the job. So ladies need to know and need to be encouraged that they can do the job.
And it's a little intimidating. I mean, when you think of police officers, I think of Starsky and Hutch. That's how old I am. And I know I couldn't do Starsky and Hutch's job. But the one thing that you've explained to me, you know, in preparation for this interview, is that if a woman is out there and she's thinking about getting a job in policing, she's going to be properly trained,
yes,
have a mentor, and have all the tools that she needs before,
yes,
she goes out there. Y'all don't just give you a badge and some keys and say, go get them, girl. You make sure they have everything they need. Talk to me about that process.
I like to keep my line open. I like to stay connected with the ladies that do apply. I encourage them to come to the info session so I can get a face-to-face contact with them. As they're going through the process, reach out to me. We can read monthly or twice a month and just encourage you. We can set up a physical and nutrition plan because we have ladies on our fitness team and also in our defensive tactics training that can assist.
And, you know, I just have to say, I appreciate it. I do. When I see a woman officer, when I see you out here with your uniform on, it is so encouraging to my daughter because we don't think of careers in policing for young girls. How do we change that? How do we change the narrative?
We start telling our little daughters that they can dress up for Halloween as police officers and not just our sons. Start telling them that you can do this job. Start putting them in early stages with DARE and getting them acquainted with their school resource officers and just getting more familiar with the job and that they can do it at a young age.
And that is so important, to expose our young girls to that option, because I tell you, there was a time when policing was a family business. You know, somebody's mother and their grandmother and their nieces were, you know, police officers, and female cousins were police officers. And now we have generations and families that were once, you know, members of the police force. And now we got two or three generations where nobody's an officer. So how do we, you know, turn that tide so that we're a part of the solution and we stop talking about the problem? Because one of the things that we said was, you know, after George Floyd died, you know, we want to see a difference in the police force. We want to see sweeping changes. That change doesn't happen if we're all on the outside requiring change. Somebody has to be a part of the solution.
Yeah, and it could start even with our civilian support staff. That's where a lot of ladies start, and then they see the officers, and then they realize, oh, I can do this. So then that's when I get in contact with them and get them on more ride-alongs and get them more exposure. And then they see that their communication skills transfers.
And I just appreciate you because you have been a one-woman wrecking crew. You know, it's not like you got, you know, a ton of people supporting this effort, especially out in the community when being a police officer now, you know, is shunned upon. You know, nobody is talking about that. Nobody wants to be about that. That's not an option for us. And it's not popular. But mm-hmm. You've continued to talk. You've continued to recruit. You've continued to do the work. Why?
I get big help. I got big family support. Even during the George Floyd, when I felt, because I'm born and raised in Minneapolis, South Minneapolis, and when it hit me, like, why am I doing this? They reminded me when I was 7 years old, when I was 9 years old, when I was telling them I wanted to be a police officer so I can protect the city of Minneapolis.
Wow, you are doing a good work. Okay, now tell everybody where you're going to be from 4 to 6 today so that they can bring their daughters, they can bring their nieces, they can bring their female cousins, they can bring the ladies out there so they can support you and learn more about how women can be a part of the Minneapolis Police Department.
Yes, all week, not just today, from 4 to 6 at the barn.
Oh, y'all going to be out there all week?
All week.
From 4 to 6? Okay, so people who are listening, if you're coming to the fair later, 4 to 6 every day.
Yes.
But that's awesome. Okay, tell them. I'm sorry. Yep. You messed me up. You messed me up with that one.
Yep, so it'll be every day 4 to 6. Sometimes it will be me, but it'll be my coworkers, Kathy and Courtney, or yeah. Lieutenant Kaz, and then our mounted unit will be out there.
Well, I can't thank you enough for the work that you are doing. I know your family's so proud of you. Say hi, family, for just being so consistent and persistent and making a difference on the police force, changing things from the inside out. Sergeant Kia Boyd with the Minneapolis Police Department, we love you, girl.
Love you, too. Thank you so much for your support.